Genesis chapter 18. The message today is the face of God. I want to read several scriptures so there will be no doubt. And so, first of all, in Genesis 18, verse 1, and the Lord appeared unto him, that is, Abraham, by the oaks of Mamre, as he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. And he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood over against him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself to the earth. Now, this vision that Abraham has is not a vision that is like a dream, something that comes to his mind, but this is a historical reality, and God and two of his angels come and talk with Abraham. Now, look at verse 7. He prepares a meal for them, and it says, Abraham ran unto the herd and fetched a calf, tender and good, and gave it to the servant, and he hasted to dress it. And he took butter and milk, and the calf which he had dressed, and set it before them. And he stood by them under the tree, and they did eat. Verse 22, and the men turned from thence and went toward Sodom. But Abraham stood yet before the Lord. So there were two men that were angelic beings, and this third man is the Lord himself, and Abraham is praying to him. Now, look after he gets through praying in verse 33. And the Lord went his way as soon as he had left off communing with Abraham, and Abraham returned unto his place. Now let's look at chapter 32. This is the incident when Jacob is returning home and he's going to meet with his brother Esau, and he has an encounter. And in brief, God as a man is wrestling with him. Verse 24, it says, a man wrestled with him under the breaking of the day, and Jacob will not let him go. And so the man says, let me go. And he says, I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. And verse 27, and he said, what is thy name? And he said, Jacob. And he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For thou hast striven with God and with man, and hast prevailed. And Jacob asked him and said, tell me, I pray thee, thy name. And he said, wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name? And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel. For, said he, I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. Now, let's look at Exodus 33. Look at verse 10. And the people saw the pillar of cloud stand at the door of the tent, and all the people rose up and worshipped, every man at his tent door. And the Lord spake unto Moses, face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. Now, you must read other verses of Scripture to understand how some are moderated and how to interpret them. Because it says in verse 18, Moses is saying, show me, I pray thee, thy glory. And the Lord tells him that he will do it. And so this is the instruction that he gives him in verse 20. He says, verse 19, and he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. And he said, thou canst not see my face, for man shall not see me and live. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon the rock, and it shall come to pass, while my glory passeth by, that I will put thee in the cleft of the rock, and will cover thee with my hand until I pass by, and I will take away my hand, and thou shalt see my back, but my face shall not be seen. Strange, isn't it? In verse 11, the inspired scriptures say that the Lord spake with Moses face to face. All right, now let's look at number 6 again. Number 6. Verse 23. Speak unto Aaron and unto his sons, saying, on this wise shall ye bless the children of Israel. Ye shall say unto them, the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Those are enough verses. I'll tell you about the others, God willing, as we go along. Let's speak to the Lord again in prayer. Our Father, we are thankful that we have your scriptures to guide us. Let us know that we have listened to the testimonies of men, and we would be confused, our God. We are thankful that we have something sure, something that is like bedrock, our God, and it is what you tell us in the Word of God. We confess that in comparing Scripture with Scripture, things are difficult, but we are thankful that by the help of thy Spirit, we can understand these things. So help us, our God, to understand the portion this morning as we consider your face, the face of God. We confess our sins, be faithful and just to forgive and cleanse as you promised, and glorify the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. You do know that God has a face, do you not? You say, well, there's no doubt about it for this reason. God tells us he does. Witnesses tell us he does. And the greatest of all witnesses, the Lord Jesus Christ tells us he does. I will go into detail about some of these personal witnesses, but God himself said that you cannot see my face. And so God says he has a face, even though he tells Moses, he tells him he cannot see that face. And the Lord Jesus says that God has a face. Speaking in Matthew 18, he said that little children's angels, it said, in heaven, they do always behold the face of my Father. So what shall we say? If God says he has a face, and witnesses say he has a face, and the Lord Jesus says he has a face, then we have to accept that God has a face. Now, if you look up the meaning of the word face, it comes from the word, the Hebrew word panim, which is always in the plural. That's a remarkable thing. And it comes from the Hebrew word paneh, which means to turn. It's something that you can turn in one direction or another. And this is the word that is used of the face of God as well as the face of a man. And speaking about fellowship between God and man, in speaking that way, that we might be able to understand it, It says that Moses spake with God face to face as a man speaks to a friend. Here is a remarkable thing. God himself tells us that Moses spoke with him face to face. And then in Numbers chapter 12, he is saying, I will speak with Moses mouth to mouth. And here is something else that is most interesting. In the second and third epistles of John, when it says that I want to come and speak to you face to face, the words literally are, I want to speak to you mouth to mouth. And the scriptures say that this is the way that Moses spoke with God. And so we can look at it and understand it to a degree, because when it says that Moses spoke with God face to face and mouth to mouth, that is the most intimate way that a man can converse with God. There are some who have heard the voice of God, but have never seen God. But when Moses communed with God, it was in such an intimate way that God says, face to face and mouth to mouth. But then God gives this additional thought, that no man can see God's face, which represents his personality, his attributes, all that God is, his character. Nobody can see it in its fullness and live. Why? Because it's impossible. It's the same way as a man looking directly into the sun. He can look, but it will blind him. And that is simply a small comparison of man looking into the face of God. If he looks into the face of God, he would be destroyed. He would perish. But as much as a man is able to comprehend the personality of God, the character of God, the attributes of God, Moses was that man who spoke with God face to face and mouth to mouth. Now, I want you to understand that when it says he did this, it wasn't in a way that is abstract, but in a way that is concrete. Because I took time to read you from Genesis chapter 18, that long before the Lord Jesus Christ, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, God took human form, as angels take human form, and came down and spoke with Abraham in this instance. And this is what is so frightening, that God, accompanied by two of his angels, all three of them appear in the form of a man. And they are finally distinguished when the two men go and they attend upon Lot, Abraham's nephew, and have an encounter with him. But it says that Abraham stayed with the Lord, and it's the word Yahweh, with Jehovah, stayed with him and talked with him. And what is so frightening is this, that God, who is a spirit, the Lord Jesus tells us in John chapter 4, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Abraham said, let me prepare a meal for you. And there was consent. And the meal was made, and it said that God and those angels ate that meal. And it said that the two angels walked off toward Sodom, and it says that the Lord, God himself, appearing as a man, he stayed, and Abraham interceded for Sodom, and especially for his nephew Lot. And when God got through talking with him, it says that God went his way. Now, do not tell me that all of these appearances of God to man are things that take place in their minds. It's like you're trying to tell me that when the Lord Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, it wasn't a literal bodily resurrection. It was a spiritual thing. The Lord Jesus extended his hands and he said to Thomas, feel me, a spirit hath not flesh and bone. And somehow these angelic beings and God himself have taken a human form and have eaten a meal. Explain that. Understand it if you can. But this is what God tells us. And also, as much as God can be comprehended, it says that Abraham talked with God. It says Moses communed with God face to face, mouth to mouth, as a man speaks with his friend. And in Genesis 32, what is more remarkable is this, that God, who is spirit, becomes so tangible that he's wrestling with Jacob. And it shows that God at times does like you fathers do with your children. Suppose your children said, Daddy, I want you to come and wrestle with me. And you went and wrestled with your child. Would you use all your strength? Well, of course not. You would wrestle with him knowing that he is a child. And that is what God did. God made it possible for Jacob to wrestle with him. And can an omnipotent God not break away from Jacob if he wants to? Well, of course he can. But he made this contest in such a way that Jacob could wrestle with him. And Jacob said, I'm not going to let you go until you give me a blessing. And so God, to escape from Jacob, had to take his finger and touch his thigh. And then he blessed Jacob, and Jacob obtained what he wanted. But after it was all over, this is what Jacob had discovered. He had never been told who the man was that was wrestling with him, but he understood. The man said to him, What is your name? He said, My name is Jacob. He said, Your name is going to be changed to Israel, because you have striven with God and with man, and you have prevailed. And Jacob said, What is your name? And he said, Why do you ask my name? God isn't going to humiliate himself in telling him, You know who I am. You're wrestling with God. And that is why, whenever you read of the word Peniel or Penuel, it means the face of God. And so Jacob is that witness. If you ask him, Does God have a face? Jacob would say, Does he have a face? I've seen his face. I have felt his arms. I've wrestled with God. I felt the finger of God touch my side. Now, comprehend that and explain it, if you will, but do not tell me that God does not have a face. And concerning that face, it all started, it came to my mind from Numbers 6:23. God, in telling the blessing that should be pronounced upon the nation of Israel, said, These are the words that Aaron and his sons are to pronounce upon Israel. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance, and it's the same word, panim. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. So here is God himself talking about his face, and this face, as I looked up all the references, and they are exhausting when you start looking all of them up, ever so many references to faces in the Bible. So when you look at all of these faces, God himself speaks of his face, and God says, concerning mankind, I want my face to shine upon man. I want my countenance to be lifted up upon man. I want to be gracious. I want to give man peace. And he says, that is done through my face shining, my countenance being lifted up upon them. And so God likes to speak of his face for this reason. I have a friend, and he was born blind. And all he knows of me is what he hears with his ear. He interprets the voice that I speak, the words that I speak, and he has some concept of me. But he's never seen my face, born blind, and yet he has a concept of me. Now, some men, you and I, we have a concept of God, but how many of you have ever seen God? Not one of you. But you've heard the voice of God, you've heard the testimony of God, not with your ear, even as those of whom we read. But we have heard and learned of God in the words that he has written for us in this book. And that's the only concept we have of God. But I want you to understand that there are those who have not only heard the voice of God, but have seen the face of God. And God's personality is revealed. And here is what is so remarkable, and it's frightening, that God has a certain handwriting. I would give anything to be able to look at those Ten Commandments that God wrote. He wrote the first set, and they were broken. But you read carefully, and God said, I'm going to write them again. I would like to see all of these analysts look at the handwriting of God and try to figure him out. And those listen to the voice of God and try to figure him out. But Abraham could say, I've seen the face of God. And Jacob could say, I've seen the face of God. And Moses could say, I've seen the face of God. And therefore, they not only have determined God and his personality and his character by what they heard, but they have seen the face of God. It's like this. In the book of Job, Job had heard of God with the hearing of the ear. But finally, after he had challenged God and doubted the righteousness of God, finally God came and confronted Job and challenged him. And at the end, Job said this, he said, I've heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye hath seen thee. He said, I abhor myself, I repent in dust and ashes, in sackcloth and ashes. Think of this, that Job had conceived thoughts about God, but finally when he saw God, then he saw his personality, he saw his face. The greatest encouragement that I can give you is this, that in the Old Testament, only certain men were privileged to see the face of God. But eventually, all of you shall see the face of God, you who have trusted Christ as Savior. This is what David says in Psalm 17. He said, some of the worldlings, they are satisfied with material things, with children. He said, but it's for me. He said, I shall behold thy face in righteousness. What does that mean? It means precisely what it says. David said, I have beheld, I shall behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with beholding thy form, or even possessing thy form. Listen to this in Psalm 27. David said, when you said to me, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. So, what happens is this, that God has a face, and have you ever tried to conceive of what the face of God might look like? The handwriting of God might be? They're in evidence, they're in existence. Have you ever tried to figure out what the voice of God would sound like? You say, well, it would be so distinct that I would know immediately it was the voice of God. You would know no such thing. For this reason, God, when Samuel was a little boy, said, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel thought it was Eli talking. I can assure you, all the adaptations that you've heard of the voice of God, everything would tremble, everything would be magnificent, there would be this vibrant voice. But when little Samuel heard the voice of God, he thought it was Eli. He was unable to distinguish between God's voice and an ordinary man's voice. Now, God can make himself so distinguishable that there can be no doubt when he's talking with Elijah. He is making himself known to Elijah, but finally he decided to speak unto Elijah in a still, small voice. And so you have no idea what the voice of God would sound like. And you have no idea what the face of God would look like. But what is so remarkable, and had I taken time, I could let you know what God's face looked like. But if you went and said, Abraham, tell me about the face of God, Abraham could tell you. He saw the face of God. Moses could tell you he saw the face of God. Jacob could tell you he wrestled with God. And the one with whom he wrestled, he said, I know his name now. He is God. And so God has a face. But you and I, and this is the promise, David said, he said, I shall behold thy face in righteousness. You say, that's what David says. It's no promise to me. In the last book in the Bible, it says that the servant of God shall see his face. And so that is my hope, that someday I'm not going to see this spirit, but I'm going to see God as much as he can manifest himself to me, and at that time he will be able to manifest himself to me more purely and fully than he did even to those who have seen him on earth, because I shall possess at that time perfect conformity to his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. But I want to set before you that hope that we shall see the face of God. Who has said so? Why, Abraham has borne witness to the face of God. Jacob has. David has. And the Lord Jesus speaks of the face of God. And God's word is promised that his servant shall serve him and they shall see his face. And so in a coming day, it is no visionary thing, but I am going to look upon the face of God and comprehend it in a way that I've never done it before. This is what it says in 1 Corinthians 13. It said, now we see in a mirror, in a glass darkly, but then face to face. And this is the promise that I am looking forward to, and this is the promise that God gives us. Now, when God challenges man, at times it says, seek the Lord while he may be found. But in Psalm 27, God said this to David. He said, seek ye my face. And when Moses wanted to commune with God, he said, I want to see you in your fullness. I want to see your glory. And what God does when he wants to reveal himself in his personality, he tells us his personal name. And it's not El Shaddai, it's not Elohim, that is not God's personal name, but his personal name is the best that we can ascertain, Yahweh. And God says, place my personal name upon the children of Israel. And so we have God's personal name, and we have God's personal appearance. And it says that in a coming day, our name, God's name, is going to be upon our foreheads, and we shall see him face to face. That is our hope. But now God says, seek ye my face. That is communion with God. And that is what is so desirable. God says, now that you are mine, I want you to seek my face. And when our heart is right, we will respond as David did. David said, you said, seek ye my face. And when you did, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Now, how much has God, the past week, been calling you to seek his face? And how long have you looked upon the face of God? What I'm afraid is that we're so carnal that if God said, seek ye my face, we would be like our parents when they sinned. We would run and hide ourselves from God. Why? Because if there is sin in your life, you do not want to see the face of God. It says in Revelation chapter 6, in a coming day, God is going to manifest himself to the world. And the world is going to look at God and say, hide us from the face of him that sitteth upon the throne. And so you're not going to want to see the face of God. Man glibly speaks about God. Let me stand before God. That's what Job said, the best man on earth. He was boasting. But when he saw God, he said, I abhor myself. I repent in sackcloth and ashes. And so when you see God in the future, if you have not sought his face, if you have not sought justification by faith through his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, you will not want to see the face of God, but you're going to see the face of God. And it will terrify you. And the last vision you will ever have of the face of God is his saying, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. That's the last you will ever see of the face of God. But man is going to see the face of God, the God that he says does not exist, that has no control, there is no God. Then these fools who say there is no God, they're going to see God, and they're going to hear the voice of God as he delegates them to go into fire and brimstone. And so the Bible says, seek the Lord while he may be found. The Lord says, seek ye my face. May we as lost ones seek his face for salvation and let it shine upon us. And may we as children of God seek his face for fellowship as did Moses. Time is gone. Let us pray. Now, Father, let us know that we in this age have never seen your face. Some have, but they've never told us in detail how it looked. And you've never left us a picture. But our God, we thank you that you're going to manifest yourself to us. You who are a most pure spirit, as man would fully describe you. Your son simply said, God is a spirit. But our Father, you have assumed human form. And men looked upon you. A God who could walk, who had hands and could eat, a mouth that could eat, and have a face that could be looked upon. We're thankful, our God, that in the coming day you shall manifest yourself to us, and we rejoice, and we look forward to that day. We are glad that having been cleansed by the precious blood of Christ, it says this, I shall behold thy face in righteousness. Our God, in unrighteousness we fear to behold thy face, but in the righteousness that is ours through Jesus Christ, we shall behold thy face. And so hasten that day, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ the Lord. Amen. The meeting is over.